Good morning. We have the reading now. It's in the book of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will become even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown on the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I have learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Good morning, everyone. Now we're continuing our series in John's Gospel, and we've got to John chapter 15, and this is a passage that I think a lot of us know very well. So it's always good to come to it with fresh eyes to see what is God going to say to us today from this passage. And of course, one of the things that it's about in a lot of detail is fruit. I know I've told this story before, so I apologize if you've heard this, but my mother was a very loving person and liked to send birthday cards to people, a habit which I have not picked up. I hate birthdays, as some of you know. But anyway, she used to love to send birthday cards to people. And there was an elderly lady in the church I grew up in. And it's not polite to discuss women, in particularly their shape. But suffice it to say, this lady was a substantial lady, okay? A substantial lady. And my mother wrote a nice birthday card to her and put in it Psalm 92, verse 14. And that reads, "They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." And she thought, what a lovely picture that is. And she wrote Psalm 92, 14, but she didn't actually put the words and sent the card. Anyway, the next Sunday in church, Mrs. Darville, as she was known, came over to my mother very, very upset indeed, because she'd read her Bible and she read the old King James Bible, in which it said, "They will still bear fruit in old age, they will be fat and flourishing." So that's a lesson on making sure that if you're going to put a reference in, you check and write the whole verse out, I think, if you want to share these things. But we are going to be talking about fruit. And actually, that verse is a lovely verse about bearing fruit in old age, so that even when we get old, then we can still actually expect that God wants to use us and to bear fruit. And we're going to think a bit about what it means to bear fruit. But I'd like to put a question to you. These words all appeared in the passage you just heard read by Howard. Okay, just maybe talk with the people around you. Which of these words came the most times, do you think? 10 seconds, just talk to the person next to you. Which of those words there, vine, fruit, branch, love, remain, father, friend, command, you can look in the script text if you want, which came most? Okay, right, let me see. I won't go through the whole list. Shout out what you think.
Remain.
Any others?
Love.
Fruit, okay. Well, you've got the big three. And the answer is remain one by a short head, okay? So remain one. Now, this is a really helpful way of understanding what a piece of scripture is all about. If you look at the words that are used most often, you can often see what the emphasis of the writer is. And when John wrote down Jesus' speech here, Jesus was focusing actually not even on fruit, not even on love, but on remain. And so what we're going to do as we go through the service, I'm just going to talk briefly about the vine because that's important too. And then we're going to look at fruit and fruitfulness, love, and then remain, because those were the three top words. Fruit, love, remain, and see what the Lord wants to say to us today. Okay, that's where we're going. Let's just start with the vine. Now, the vine, we were in Madeira, Lucy and I, last week, and we saw fields covered in vines. Actually, very interestingly, bananas grow up to a certain level, and then vines, and then other fruits. And of course, Madeira's basically a huge volcanic ridge. So as you go up on the roads, you see the different crops changing. But we saw fields full of vines. And we also tasted some very nice Madeira wine as well, which you feel you have to, don't you, when you're there? You know, couldn't not really. But the vines were everywhere. And you can see these vines growing up with the branches spreading out. And of course, actually, if you ever see a vineyard, it's quite an impressive place. But when Jesus said, "I am the vine," in this case, although he was wanting to share a picture, we would lose something if we didn't recognize that what he was actually saying was political dynamite in the context of his culture. You see, when the Jewish people looked at their scriptures, the Old Testament, what they find is all sorts of references to the vine. I've listed a lot of them there. And it's lots of references to Israel being the vine, okay? And so when Jesus said, "I am the vine," and in verse 5, "I am the true vine," he's actually saying, I've actually got a role from God that is actually taking over from what you think as Israelites. It was quite a challenging message. And you probably know in Matthew and in Luke 2, he tells a story, a parable, about a vineyard and how the people in charge of the vineyard had not done what the vineyard owner wanted. And in the end, the vineyard owner sends his son to bring the message to the people looking after the vineyard, and they kill the son. And this message was political dynamite. And one of the things is that in the scriptures I've quoted, when Israel is talked about as a vine, it is frequently talked about as a vine that has not been fruitful, has not fulfilled God's purposes. All those references there points to, yes, God had made Israel as a vine, but it hadn't produced the fruit that was expected. And it's as though what Jesus is saying when he says, "I am the true vine," is, look, the history, the role that God had given Israel to be a light to the nations, actually, the baton is passing. They have not fulfilled that. Now Jesus is coming as the true vine. And if Jesus is the true vine and he calls us his branches, then the followers of Jesus are now becoming God's people on earth. Now, we're not going to spend much more time on this, but this is a really important way of understanding the Bible, because Jesus is speaking to us today. But as he was speaking to the people at the time, this message was political dynamite. And it says, after he told the parable about the vineyard, it says, the leaders of the Jewish people knew he was talking about them, and so they looked for a way to arrest him. And so we need to recognize that this isn't just a nice agricultural picture, but this is a statement about God's purposes on earth and Jesus coming to be with his new people, the way that God's salvation, God's message, God's kingdom would be shared across the world. That's the vine. Okay, let's think about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Well, these two verses, which I've already quoted, are quite significant. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, if we use poetic picture language, and Jesus clearly was here, he didn't mean that he had feet in the mud, he was using it as a picture. We need to recognize carefully what's being said. So he said, he is the vine, and God the Father is the gardener, who is going to bring the growth through the vine. He says, he is the vine, and his followers are the branches. And so that's really how we need to look at this whole picture. But actually, when I started to think about it, one of the things that worried me was, what is the fruit? What is the fruit? Now, I was brought up in a church where actually I think the implication was given that the fruit was lots of other people becoming Christians. Okay? Well, I'm not sure that's actually what the scriptures say, what Jesus said in this case. I think Jesus is saying the fruit is what God does in transforming and developing character in us, his character in us. First of all, I think he uses a phrase that John the Baptist used a phrase too, about fruit in keeping with repentance. And so the first thing I think that this fruit that comes from Jesus is all about is that if we follow Jesus, Jesus transforms our life and brings in us the fruit of righteousness. He changes the way we live. He changes us to move away from the things that are wrong towards the things of God. And there are lots of references there to things Jesus said himself, by their fruits you will know them. It's about our character. It's about how we change. And then, of course, in the writings of Paul, we read about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And in Colossians 1, he talks about the fruit of the light: goodness, righteousness, truth. And so these are things which are actually meant to be developed in us. And this is promising that if we are the branches of the true vine, then God will change us and change our character. Now, I'll talk a bit about other people becoming Christians in a minute, but I think we miss something if we don't see that what God is saying to us is he wants to change us. He wants to develop his character, his life, his goodness in our lives. And if we are in the vine, that is what he will do. We'll come to that at the end, but fruitfulness talks as well about the fact that there's going to be evidence that God is with us. In the passage we've got, John 15, verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me my disciples. If you like, rather than worry about other people, if we worry about the relationship between us and the Lord Jesus, he can change our lives so they become attractive to other people. And these scriptures are there. I know I go through the scriptures quite quickly. If you want these to take away afterwards, on the desk as you leave, there are some copies of these slides to help you look at these if you want to. Now, we come on to a very difficult bit where actually he says in verses 2, 3, and 4, Jesus says, he cuts off, the gardener cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean, pruned. Those words are very similar. Very clean or pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. And this is, I think, quite a sobering thought. Many years ago, I think some of you know, Lucy and I went off to be missionaries in Hong Kong. And it was pretty difficult. And it didn't work out as we expected. And after 4 years, we were back in England, and we didn't go back as missionaries. We actually went back to Hong Kong for another 4 years, but not as missionaries. And I look back at that time, and for quite a while, I think both Lucy and I felt, did we get it wrong? Did we mishear God's call? Did stuff go wrong? Were we disobedient or whatever? And I think one of the things that's difficult for us is that we so often feel we're going out to serve God and do great things and so on. And that's also this confusion about being fruitful. But actually what God wants to do is to work in us, to change us, to develop character in us. And I think, looking back now, that the experiences of things not working out in the way that we expected wasn't a mistake. It was God's plan to do stuff in me to make things for the future. Not so that I can be here now, but I'm sure being here now is enhanced by the fact that I have an experience of things not working out, of things not going to the plan that I had expected. It's as though Jesus is saying, look, pruning is essential for a vine, but pruning is brutal. When you see them cut back a vine, they cut back lots and lots of stuff. And it might be that the message for some people today is that God wants to get rid of loads of stuff in your life about what you think about yourself, about the way that you think you're going to organize your life, to get down to the what matters, the relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes stripping stuff away is necessary before real fruitful growth can happen. In the book of Hebrews, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest, a fruit of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The message that Jesus gave to his disciples was, following me is going to be tough. You're going to be cut back quite regularly. The reason for that is so I can produce more fruit. But even more solemn, I think, is this sense about the branches that bear no fruit. And these, that Jesus says, will be cut off. So a pruned branch is actually prepared for better for the future. A cut-off branch is thrown into the fire. If we've become a Christian, can we be thrown into the fire? Well, earlier in John's Gospel, we have preached on those wonderful words that no one can snatch anyone out of God's hand. So that once we're in him, we are secure. But I think, as is often the case, there are two truths that we have to hold in balance. And the truth here is that if actually we claim the name of Jesus, but there is no fruit in our lives, we're not being transformed, we're not living according to his ways, then perhaps the solemn message is he will cut us off and throw us away. Another thing that stood out to me, and this was really difficult, we prayed about it in the early prayer meeting before the sermon. How do you stand up and preach when it's crystal clear that actually the only source of fruit ever is from the vine? And with the solemn message that when you preach, it's a complete waste of time unless God the Holy Spirit's life is flowing through. It's a really solemn reminder. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. He is the source of all transformation, of all life, of all change. Without him, we can do nothing. And that's a really good reminder for any of us when we serve God. We've got a church meeting tonight. It'd be lovely for you to come along. I hope you're able to come along if you're a church member and take part in the church meeting. And many people in this church do wonderful things for God. But if we start to talk about my ministry, what I do to serve God, we're already starting to disconnect from the vine, and we're already starting to look at that as something which belongs to us, not something which is God's life flowing through us to the people that we are serving. It's great that this church runs on volunteers who are so committed to make things work, but always make sure we know it's not our work, our ministry, it's his, because without him, we can do nothing. But the promise is this: if we stay connected to Jesus, then we're called to be fruitful, to bear much fruit, to bear lasting fruit. And just to put a spin on the other story about going to Hong Kong, I think, again, I've shared this before. We were back in Hong Kong about about 15 years after we had first left Hong Kong. And I met someone then who'd been a taxi driver, he's still a taxi driver, and I'd done some basics of teaching him English. He wanted to learn English to be a better taxi driver in Hong Kong, being an international city. And I taught him some English in a class of men, and he'd come to ask questions about Jesus, and he'd come along to a number of the Bible studies. And actually, I can see that God spoke to that man long after we'd gone. He became a Christian, and now when he's not a taxi driver, he's running evangelistic teams in China, sharing the gospel with people. So actually, you don't know what fruit will come, the fruit of changing in my life, but the fruit too that might have come through, and he went to share the gospel. So sometimes when we look at stuff that seems to have gone wrong, we mustn't limit what God can do, even if we don't think it's done the way we expected. Let's move on to the second and third words, which are a bit quicker. Love. Joe preached a couple of weeks ago, and he shared about agape love. Agape love. This is the love which is about commitment, about obedience, about sacrifice. This isn't just a feeling or an emotion, but this is the committed love that God has for us. And this is the word that's used when we say in verse 9 and other such verses, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And let's just think briefly about this. Well, God is love, and the source of love, the love and life and power of God, flows through Jesus to us. And we're told to remain in his love. That agape love, which we can't manage in our own strength, that's what comes from him. God is love, and we are to love and to remain in his love. As the Father loved the Son, so we are to love as well. And that's a real challenge, that we love the way Jesus loved. That's the sacrificial love, the way that we love one another. And notice, it's a command. It's a command. That we obey is evidence in the way that we love each other, that we are his friends. I remember someone saying to me once, there's a song that says about Jesus is our friend, and the people that sing it often sing it about 150 times in a row, and it is a bit tedious. But nonetheless, the person said, where does it say in the Bible, Jesus is our friend? Well, it does. It says it here. Jesus is our friend. He's our Lord. He's our Saviour, he's our Master, he's our Teacher. But he calls us friends. He calls us friends. But the evidence of that friendship is in our obedience to his command to love one another. And this message, I'm going to pick it up at the end as well, this message to love is one that we had the last time I preached. And I'm often accused of repeating myself, and I'm going to again because Jesus did. He repeats it two or three times here, that we are called to love one another. And this seems to be, if you like, perhaps one of the most obvious fruits of being in the vine, that we love one another. And of course, on Remembrance Sunday, it is appropriate that we think about this verse too, in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And often that was used in the wars to encourage people to sacrifice themselves. And I'm not actually sure, I can understand absolutely that if that was given as an evidence of love, that was great. But I don't really want to follow that through. It's fair that we recognize those who have given a sacrifice so that we can be free here. But of course, what this verse really points at is the fact that Jesus, who was saying this actually the night before he was crucified, knew that he was going to demonstrate his love by laying down his life for his friends in that room and for all those who were going to become the branches on the one true vine for us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then we come to the word that came up the most often. Remain. In the old version, I know some of you like the old version, abide. But abide is a word we don't use very much these days, I don't would say. And so remain is probably a better way of thinking about it. Remain in Jesus. And if you want a summary for this whole passage, this surely is the right summary. Although fruit's mentioned 9 times and love mentioned 9 times, remaining goes throughout the passage because that is the most important thing, to remain. Our responsibility is to stay attached as a branch, to let the life of the vine come through the branch, and then the fruit will come. Okay, what does it mean to stay attached? Well, if you come to the marriage course that Philip and Erica run here from time to time, one of the things about that is to encourage people to sustain their relationship, to invest time as a husband and wife in spending time together, actually working at the relationship. Now, I don't know if you think the idea of a date night with God is a terrible idea. It sounds pretty awful. But the idea of spending time with Jesus is the only way to sustain our relationship, to walk with him. And so we need to make sure, whether it's in the morning or in the evening or at coffee time, or ideally all of them, that we get into the habit of spending time with our Lord, because that's what it means to remain in Jesus, to stay connected with him. I know some people wear those WWJD, what would Jesus do, bangles. Have you got one on there, Rachel?
What would Jesus have me do?
Oh, what would Jesus have me do? Okay, well, what would Jesus have me do? Very nice. Well, I was out with someone yesterday, and they were talking about their grandson, who's been brought up watching Wasps rugby, okay? And the scrum half for many years of Wasps rugby, he's still there, but he's kind of now a finisher, not a starter, is Joe Simpson. And what he was saying was that his grandson is now 12, 13 in secondary school and playing rugby as scrum half. And what he said was that we used to go every week and we would watch Joe Simpson. And now he says, I go and watch my son play rugby. And when he's playing rugby as scrum half, he's got the same mannerisms as Joe Simpson has in the way that he operates. So what had happened was that the grandson had kept a relationship so close, if you like, to watching what Joe Simpson did, that that's now automatically come out in the way that they live. And I think this is a helpful way of thinking about what it means to be connected to the vine. That if we spend time with Jesus, and if we look and study and see what Jesus did, then we're in a position to answer the question, what would Jesus have me do? Or what did Jesus do? But actually, it will come through, dare I say it, naturally, I mean spiritually, but you know what I mean? The life of the Holy Spirit will transform us, and we will pick up the habits of Jesus in the way that we pick the way that we emulate him, the way that we live. Just as that boy has picked up the habits of Joe Simpson by studying and watching and being in that person's presence. We are called to remain in Jesus, to stay attached, and then through that, Jesus' life will come through. This is, again, just to return to this, and I think God is at work in us, training, disciplining, improving us, and we struggle with this sometimes. And one of the things just to share, we're going to talk a bit about a corporate prayer this evening in the church members' meeting. And one of the things is we spend a lot of time praying that God will take away from us things that we're struggling with. We pray, give us a job because we've lost our job, or we pray, take away this sickness, or we pray this. These are things because we want to avoid them. And of course, that's natural. And it's good that we share and pray for each other. But sometimes difficulties come because God wants to train and discipline us as to how we react in those difficulties. And certainly, I would say for Lucy and me, when we look back to what we thought we were going to do in Hong Kong and how life worked out, well, we can't, it doesn't seem to flow in the way that we would have planned it if we were doing an HR plan for our lives, a career path to heaven. But in God's plan, he wanted to do things that trained us and disciplined and improved us. And that goes on all through our lives, whatever age we are. And I just wanted to draw your attention. We're not going to look at this in detail. But the outcome of this fruit in our lives is really exciting. The outcome of remaining in Jesus, he brings fruit. Verse 14, he brings joy. Verse 7 and 16, he brings power. Because as we ask things in align with his will, that's what we see happen. He gives us the capacity to witness. People do become Christians if they see the authenticity of a Christian life with Jesus living through it. We see intimacy because he calls us his friends, because he tells us what he's doing. And we see authority because he tells us that we have his power to work in this world. If we remain in Jesus, there will be an amazing impact in our lives, spilling out into those who are around. So as we come to the end, there is a so what. And that's what I realized as I came to this passage. And that's why I've shared two or three things from my own experience, because it felt like this was a passage I knew really well. And here was the first question I wanted to ask you all. Are you closer to Jesus now than you were 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 25 years ago, 50 years ago, 70 years ago? And this is a really challenging question. I started at the beginning talking about that verse in Psalm 92. Even in old age, they will bear fruit. Do you actually have that sense of dissatisfaction, a godly dissatisfaction, with your relationship with Jesus? He wants you always to be following him, to be wanting him to make more fruit. And how do you get more fruit? Well, quite often with stuff being cut off, pruned, cut back. It might be hard, but actually what he wants is that we are producing fruit for eternal life, so that when heaven and earth are brought together and we are there in his purposes, we are as good as he could want us to be. Are you closer to Jesus now than you were 1 year ago? 5 years ago? Amen. 5 years ago? 25 years ago?
Jesus will save you and he will help you get through difficulties. If anybody wants to hear about it and how he's helped me and saved me, talk to me afterwards.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah. Thank you. So Steve's got that offer. And could we all give that testimony? Could we all give a testimony that God is looking after us? But not just that, that we are growing in faith. We are growing in fruitfulness because we are closer and closer to Jesus. The verse at the very end of the passage says we are chosen to go and bear fruit. We had a theology class last week in the church, and we've got another one on the 27th, discussing the idea of the sovereignty of God. Does God choose us? Is it fair if he chooses us? Well, I believe God does choose us, but it's usually often it says he chooses us to go and do something. So we're chosen to go and bear fruit. That's what we're called to do. And if that's not happened, we need to think about it. And then, of course, we're called again, the much repeated message, to love one another. But have we got the message? Do you remember the story I told, I think it was 4 weeks ago now, about the Apostle John? When he was so old, he would turn up for the service and they'd say, share something with us. And he'd say, love one another. And he'd say it every week. And I think I quoted it. They said to him one day, teacher, why do you always say love one another? And he replied, because it is the Lord's commandment, and if it alone is kept, it is sufficient. I've repeated that again. Jesus repeats, love one another consistently through this time. Do we get the message? Are we doing it? We're going to finish now. Let me just read these verses to you again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Do you have that godly dissatisfaction to see God work in your life to bring more fruit even than last week or last year?